Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Manxiety Podcast.
We're your hosts, Ashad and Matt.
Before we get started, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe so you can get notified of new episodes.
If you want to share this with your friends, you can find us on all podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
This week, we'll be talking about OCD. We'll be going over what OCD is, how it affects anxiety, and how anxiety affects OCD. And we'll share some stories of OCD or what people believe is OCD that have happened in our own lives. So to kick it off, what is OCD? Well, OCD stands for Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. It's a mental health disorder that affects people of all ages and walks of life. You know, there's little children that can have OCD as well as very old adults that can have it as well. And it occurs when a person gets caught up in a cycle of obsessions and compulsions. You know, we've talked on this podcast before a little bit about these cycles you can get into, right? And, you know, you can be having a bunch of bad days and they'll compound. You got to break the cycle and move on. OCD is kind of like that, but it's specific to something, and it's a very long-term cycle. It's something that you repeat over and over and over and over again, and it just keeps happening. Obsessions are unwanted, intrusive thoughts, images, or urges that trigger intensely distressing feelings or that trigger anxiety. And compulsions are behaviors that someone engages in an attempt to get rid of the obsessions or to decrease his or her distress or anxiety of them. Some examples of obsessions can be a fear of germs or dirt, and a symptom of that, right, the part of that that makes it an obsessive compulsive disorder is that you might be scared of touching things that other people have touched, like doorknobs. Or you don't want to hug or shake hands with others. And it's constant, so you're always afraid of touching doorknobs, and you're always afraid of hugging, or you always have anxiety of hugging or shaking hands with someone. Or it might be an extreme need for order, right? And you might feel stressed when objects are out of place, so it's really hard for you to leave your house until everything is arranged in a certain way. And sometimes, you know, we may tell people, oh, like, you have OCD, or we may think we have OCD ourselves because we do things, very small things sometimes that seem like OCD, or we like things very clean or whatever. But OCD, the actual OCD, right, the actual mental health disorder, is when you need something exactly the same way every single time, and you can't leave or you can't go do anything until it's that way. Right, so you may be a clean freak and you might, you know, really like everything clean, but if something's not clean one day, you may still be able to leave the house and go and do whatever else. But if you have OCD, you won't be able to leave. You'll have to completely finish whatever you're doing to go. There are some other ones too. You know, there's a fear of hurting yourself or someone else, excessively doubting or fearing making a mistake, having a fear of embarrassment, or a fear of evil or hostile thoughts, including like warped ideas about sex or religion. And something that I actually found out during my research for this episode, which I didn't know before, was the thoughts part of this, right? The intrusive thoughts. So I always thought that OCD was physical things, were like compulsions that people had, and that's what categorized it as OCD. But after doing the research, I realized that it can also be thoughts that come into your head, and they're always there. It's a constant thought that's always occurring and always causing you distress or anxiety.
Yeah, all the research on OCD is pretty fascinating. I went on a date with this girl a few times who, she had OCD, and she was telling me about it, and it was really interesting. And this is before I, like, really understood my anxiety, so I didn't really, you know, know all about OCD and like have researched it or anything. And she just had told me, so I think she came like a few minutes late to the date, right? I know it's a goddamn theme. Everybody's coming late to my dates. I don't know what it is. But she came a few minutes late, and then, you know, I was like, oh, whatever, it's not a big deal. She just texted me on the way. And then she's like, you know, actually the reason I was late is because I had to make sure that like the stove was off. And I was like, oh, that's cool, like you're being safe, right? And she's like, no, like it's because I have OCD. And I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, like that's cool. I mean, I don't, you know, like I didn't really know what to say, but I also didn't want to be like offensive. And she was explaining that like, yeah, like she'll check the stove is off like 30 times before she's leaving, because there may have been something in her past where like the stove was left on and it was a big deal, or something happened to kind of like keep that thought, you know, loop cycle and repeating constantly. And every time she, you know, even though she lives with other people, and she can text them like, hey, is the stove off? She's like, she has to check it to make sure, because it's like she's keeping everybody safe. Which is really interesting, because obviously, you know, now with the podcast and everything, looking back, it's like, you know, it could just be such a big symptom of the anxiety related to it and those thoughts, right? Because like she had this repetitive thought, like you just mentioned, it led to that repeated action, right? So it was like, oh, I need to make sure everything's like the windows are shut and like the stove's off and all this stuff. It had to be like a perfect environment, like you said, before she could leave the house, before she felt safe coming back, without thinking like maybe that the house would catch on fire or her loved ones would be hurt or like somebody would break in or whatever, right? Like whatever that thought process led to.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, a lot of people go through that sometimes. Like my wife, when she lived at home and I would go to pick her up, she had to check all of the doors and windows, the stove, their garage door, and all of their outside doors before we left the house if her parents weren't home. And see, the thing is, like, it wasn't OCD for her. For her, it was more of the fact that her dad would inadvertently leave things open sometimes. So he would, like, you know, go through the garage, but not with the clicker, like, manually open the garage. So then the lock wouldn't be on. So the garage door is closed, but you can push it open. And I guess that had happened a couple times. So, you know, she wanted to be sure that that was always closed. Or like one of the side gates might have been left open because of the same reason. So even though it was something that she did when she left the house, she was able to still leave the house without doing that, right? It wasn't actual OCD where like she had to do it every single time, a million times to leave. It's just something that she did just to be sure everything was closed.
Yeah, it sounds like it could have just been like a mild, like if there was like a spectrum of OCD disorders, it'd be like a mild case. But because right. She was able to recognize that she was doing it and then stop doing it because when she felt safe, like her parents were home or somebody was there around, right? It's like it's kind of the same thing with anxiety where it doesn't start to like really interrupt your daily life. So it's not seen as something that needs to be kind of like helped with or focused on. It's something that you could just like kind of notice, right?
Right.
And if you brought that up to her, you know, she's probably just like, oh yeah, I do it because, you know, my dad has forgotten these things a few times and I want to, you know, make sure he's safe and the house is secure or something, right?
No, and that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. But it you know, in that case, it doesn't really like stem from maybe like a fear of like breaking in or something in that regard, right? But I mean, I think a lot of people do things that we like all consider OCD, right? Like a lot of times somebody will like organize the highlighters or something at work by color, right? And it just makes sense because we like things being in patterns that we recognize. So they order it, you know, all the yellow highlighters are in the same cup as the yellow ones and the pink ones and the blue and whatever. And a lot of times we kind of like jokingly will point that out to people like, oh, you have OCD, haha. Or like, oh, I'm being really OCD today, right? I know I've said things like that. And obviously it's not at the level of like the disorder. And it's more of a joke. But, you know, we shouldn't really try to joke about it as much because I'm sure if you've lived through it, it's got to be pretty hellacious, just like anxiety, because if you're constantly doing something before you have to leave the house, or you're constantly in those like loops and you can't break out of it, and then you tell somebody, hey, I'm having this issue, and they laugh it off as like, ah, you're just an A-type personality and you just like being organized or whatever, right? Now you're like, well, shit, who do I go to for help?
Right. No, that's very true. I also thought it was interesting, according to Anxiety and Depression Association of America, 1 in 40 adults and 1 in 100 children in the U.S. Have experienced OCD, which, I mean, that's a pretty significant number. So if you know 40 people, what is that, like your family maybe? If you have a pretty small size family, right? If you have maybe a couple brothers and sisters and like their kids, if you were a little bit older, that'd be about 40 people. That means one person in your family probably has had or has some level of OCD.
I'm pretty sure I'm that person.
I think so too.
I was reading about it, you know, for the podcast, and one of the things I had to look up was like, could like constantly playing and like fidgeting with like your hands or like playing with your hair or like doing things like that be OCD? And they're like, yeah, it's one of the symptoms. I was like, ah, fuck. Because I brought that up to my therapist when I was going, because like I would constantly like have to be like moving something through my hands, and usually like if I have long hair, like I'm playing with my hair or like just running my hands through it, doing something, right? And then if I have short hair, because I usually keep my hair pretty short, I usually like will crack my knuckles a lot, and you know, it could just be one of those things where like I developed it when I was younger as like a response to something, and now it's just like it's just habit.
Yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed playing with like Zippo lighters, so if I have a Zippo, I'll always be, you know, opening and closing it and annoying the shit out of everyone around me. But I mean, I don't think it was OCD. Like, I wasn't doing it for a specific reason. It just sort of
Yeah, I mean, it starts to become it when it's like an action that soothes you, soothes you. And if you use it in response to like, let's say like I'm in a meeting at work and I'm nervous about the meeting and I start cracking my knuckles, then I think that's how like some of it becomes more of an OCD level compulsion based on what I was reading in one of the articles, which is really interesting because, you know, everybody can be affected by it, and you could have like OCD and not think that it's anxiety related at all.
Right.
Right. It's just the way you are, or the way that, you know, you're experiencing the world, and you think that that's normal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, another story too. I know all these people with disorders and everything, man.
I know, you're so popular, Matt. You always have stories. I feel like I'm such a boring old man now. Like, we have these episodes, and you always have these stories of, like, girls you've dated or coworkers or whatever. And I'm over here like, I ain't got no stories.
This is what happens when you get married, man, and you have a dog. You just stay at home all day. You just read by candlelight at night, and then that's it. And it's like old-timey.
That's exactly what I do. I wake up in the morning and go fishing alone, and then, you know, I take the boat back, and I do farming alone, and I come home late at night and I do some reading alone. I just don't get any interaction with people.
Is this because of the pandemic or pre-pandemic? Jeez, man.
This is a joke. Sorry, go ahead.
I know you're joking. I don't know if the rest of the world does. Sounded pretty convincing. But I have a coworker who's he's a germaphobe, right? Which is like
wears gloves kind of germaphobe, or like just like doesn't like touching things kind.
Has like a finger condoms, which are like singular finger gloves in his shirt pocket, so that he doesn't touch anything. And you know, it's really interesting because I kind of noticed he was doing it, and I was like, okay, that's fine, right? And actually, one of the guys at work who doesn't work anymore, but this is a few years ago, really pissed me off because he's like, hey, you should go give so-and-so a hug. And I was like, what? I was like, one, why would I hug anybody at work? Right? And two, I was like, I don't get it. And then I was like, oh, because he's a germaphobe? Which sounds bad saying that, right? Calling someone a germaphobe. But in that context. And he's like, yeah, it'd be funny. And I was like, that would not be fucking funny, dude. Like,
that's messed up.
How is this funny at all? Like, he's going to have to, like, run out of the room and, like, go home and take a shower or something because he thinks, like, I could be, like, infected or whatever, right?
So, like, you're just causing him unnecessary anxiety, right?
Yeah, like, I don't want to do that. So, I mean, there's been times when, like, I've seen him at the office because he works in one of our other buildings. And, like, if I see him walking down, I'll make sure to, like, open the door and hold it for him so he doesn't have to touch the door on the way in. Because, like, it's a simple thing I can do. Like, it takes me an extra 20 seconds to open the door in front of him or whatever, right? And, like, if I see him, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I've never really had, like, a long conversation with him, but, like, I know who he is. And, you know, it's like, I don't see the point in, like, causing people more distress than there needs to be. But, yeah, so... it is interesting. I mean, he's still going to work even with the pandemic going on and everything, so I'm sure he's being extra safe. But I haven't had any like talks with him about that. It's just something that was interesting researching this and then thinking about like the different things throughout my life and the people that I know who like have some of these types of OCD disorders.
Yeah, no, that is very interesting. And you know, I think it would probably benefit people to talk about some ways that you can, I guess, reduce your, you know, obsessive compulsive behaviors. So, according to a Dutch study that was done in 2008, and this is something we've talked about, and you know, we've gone over a lot of the benefits of meditation, but mindfulness meditation had a significant and large effect on OCD symptoms. And it was specifically on thought action fusion. So like the belief that having a thought is the same as acting on the thought and the ability to let go of unwanted thoughts, which makes a lot of sense, right? The meditation teaches you to let go of thoughts and let them flow and pass without getting too caught up in a thought and being able to apply those same practices to something physical, or again, OCD can be thoughts as well. Being able to apply that to the symptoms of OCD would obviously help. And I think mindfulness is specifically cited here, one, because it's sort of one of the biggest types of meditation that people do, but also because mindfulness specifically teaches you to focus on sort of in the moment on one thing, you know, not let intrusive thoughts in. And by doing that, you teach yourself to let go of the unwanted thoughts. And once you realize that, you know, you have OCD and maybe the thoughts that are recurring are, you know, the thoughts that you don't want, they're unwanted. And you recognize that that's a symptom of OCD, then you can focus on getting rid of those thoughts.
That's interesting. One of the apps I've used for meditating, right, Headspace, is they have a track for anxiety that I've gone through. And one of the things that they teach you is while you're meditating, you're going to be distracted, right? If I tell you to sit there and just count your breaths, you know, 1 to 10 for 10 minutes, you're going to get distracted at some point. And what they go over is when you're distracted, whether it's like a physical feeling or a thought, you basically just label it as such. So the intro exercise is just like, okay, I'm meditating, I'm breathing in and out, and then I'm thinking, oh my God, I got to record a podcast, right? So now I'm like a little bit panicked that I have to record. And you would just tell yourself, okay, that was a thought, it distracted me, back to the breath. Or sometimes you might go, oh, you know, like my knee's been acting up, my knee hurts. Okay, that's a feeling, back to the breath. And I guess there was a study done where it said, like, if you just label thoughts and emotions as you're going through them, there's a sometimes up to like a 50% reduction in the intensity of the action. So if you're having a bad day and you're angry, right, like somebody cut you off and you're like, fucking asshole, you piece of shit, how dare you cut me off, whatever, and you just say, I'm being very angry right now, you can actually help getting back to a baseline because you're like, well, okay, I know what I'm going through. I know what happens when I get angry. I yell. Okay, I've yelled. Now what? And it kind of cuts off that cycle of you like taking the conscious effort to label what you're going through. And especially now, given that a lot of people are probably experiencing anxiety for the first time with the pandemic, or like major anxiety for the first time, you know, the thought could be the world's ending, the world's ending, the world's ending, the world's ending, right? Which is really just, you know, general anxiety, a thought that, you know, a lot of people have gone through, but also, you know, it, that can turn into something more compulsive because you're like, you may become or be more likely to become like a germaphobe during the pandemic because you want to be very careful with everything you're touching, right?
No, that makes sense. And the way I've sort of been taught is, I know you said labeling, but some of the studies that I've done was acknowledging the thoughts. So trying not trying to ignore thoughts that occur, or like physical feelings you feel, but actually acknowledging that you felt it and then letting it go. Because if you just try to ignore it, it's going to keep nagging at you, right? It's like, I don't have any children, but I can only imagine that when I have a child and they're as annoying as I was when I was a kid, they're probably going to come and keep, you know, bothering me if they want something. And if I just keep ignoring it, they're just going to keep doing it because that's what I did and that's what kids do. But if you acknowledge that they're there and you're like, hey, like, I'll get back to you, right? You turn around, you actually say, hey, like, you know, I'm doing something or whatever. You acknowledge that that person is there. It calms them down and makes them feel like, hey, you know, he acknowledged me, he saw me. Now I just need to let them be. And that's how sort of how thoughts are too. Once you acknowledge it, you can let it go and it'll leave.
I was very close to belting out the Let It Go song, but I don't not possess the vocal talent to really nail those high notes. So I will spare the listeners at home that torture.
We can maybe do a sing-along episode one day.
We'll do a karaoke like anxiety episode.
Yeah. Yeah, different songs remixed into.
We could do a Let It Go remix about anxiety, right? I've thought about a Let It Grow remix about growing my beard out, just like let it grow, because I have nobody to see during the pandemic, so I'm just letting it grow.
Interesting.
It could be Let It Snow. It's really hot out. We're in a heat wave.
or Let It Row if you're on a boat and you'd like to.
Row, row, row your boat. Let it row.
All right, we're getting off topic. Any other thoughts on OCD, Matt? Any other coworkers or dates you've had?
No, that's mostly it. Yeah, those are the only two stories I could think of related to people I've actually come in contact with.
Yeah, I don't have much either.
I will say if you are having like really bad OCD, probably your best bet is to go to like a psychologist that specializes in it and can like really help you like break out of that loop. Because if it's really bad to the point where you're like, you are a germaphobe and you won't touch anything and you won't like eat anything unless it's like been sterilized. And you don't, it's like, in impacting your life, right? I think the best thing to do in that situation is to go seek professional help. If it's something that like that you do every once in a while, like you mentioned with your wife, right? And like it doesn't really impact the rest of her life and she can function properly, then it's not that big of a deal. It's just to kind of shed light on some of the more finer parts of anxiety, right? Like the far-reaching parts that, you know, it can manifest itself into.
Yep. And I think we'll continue doing sort of specific episodes on different things that have are connected to anxiety or have anything to do with it, just to explore sort of all of the far-reaching places that anxiety can reach outside of just general anxiety, sort of what else is related to it. And this is one of those episodes.
Yeah, overall, you know, we like researched it. We want to learn more about it and see how it relates to our life. So if anybody at home has, you know, knows anybody who's gone through OCD or has it themselves, you know, feel free to reach out and let us know about your experience, right? Maybe hopefully we got things right, but maybe we got something wrong. Who knows, right? And it would be good to hear other people's perspective too. And you know, sit down and listen to people and say like, okay, that's how you experience the world and this is how you deal with it, because it'll just broaden our perspective.
Yep, I completely agree. And if we can help in any way, or if what you say can help someone else, we'd love to share it. And with that, I think that's the episode for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope that you're all still staying safe and healthy. And until next time, take care of yourselves.